I'm going to be on a plane this evening, and I'm not going to miss that plane.
So what's our hard deadline?
Our hard deadline, our absolute drop-dead deadline is 7 o'clock, which is the point when I will be leaving. In fact, it's 6:45 to give me time to get to the front desk. I'm hoping to finish at 6 so that we can all have a goodbye drink before that. So we'll do the carrot and stick approach. If we can finish... Yeah, I turn into a pumpkin before 7, as you know. So if we can aim to finish at 6, I think that gives us a good chance to slog this lot out. Let's review where we are at 5:30. Susan.
Maggie just asked me to deliver one more point. I think it's okay.
Okay.
No, good question asked. So actually, one of the recommendations we had made to them when we were down there was to do some public outreach events. And we have a scheduled date of November 10th. And so they'll be coming to Facebook or to Palo Alto in general. I don't know if we've decided on the location. It was either the office or our office, one of the two. And I'll be rounding up a bunch of brand owners, people that use the Who Is record, and they'll be delivering their message there. So they've already started on some of the recommendations we're doing. So it's
Thank
part of that
very
communication
much.
Thing.
Yeah, that's great.
Only if I might.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the compliance team. It sounds like they're already starting on a number of your
yes.
recommendations. I still think you should take credit for them, but, you know, pushing in the right direction. But congratulations, you know, that's good work.
It is. It seems like good work. Now, we're doing hard focus this afternoon. Let's just recap and work out where we are. We left Marina Del Rey with a set of recommendations which were almost agreed. They fall pretty much under two headings, privacy proxy and accuracy. So far in Dakar, we have brainstormed some overall categories to fit our recommendations under, and we've made some progress on some of them, particularly a headline data accuracy recommendation. I propose that this afternoon, as we are reaching the end of our time together, we focus on text-based recommendations, and I'm looking forward to hearing how Kathy and Bill got on with their overnight task.
Terrible.
Let's get the text up there. Let's please keep our comments crisp and to the point, and also focused on moving us forward towards consensus. That's how we're going to get through. And so with that, I would like to hand over, please, to Kathy and to Bill to let us know how you got on with the task of drafting your findings and initial recommendations on proxy and privacy. Thank you.
I have the master document. Alice, I just sent it to you. If we can put it up, that would be good.
And just to note, there's one more, number four, paragraph 42, the penalties bill, so I'll be circulating that. Okay.
Okay.
But I just want to let you know, we wanted to put ketchup over our faces and come in and, you know, say we duked it out.
But we didn't have time.
That's right.
But Peter joined us as well.
That was great for a long time.
Yes. This was done largely either in the restaurant here or out at the pool. So
you suffered.
We suffered, yes. Alice is logging in now. So I'll start reading this. A lot of what we discussed were the things that we agreed on, started those areas, and then went to the things where we might not have agreement. They're just bullet items. They're not. It isn't lots of text, but starting out, the community has not handled the issue of privacy in a timely or effective manner. That's how I just changed that so that...
Please feel free. Right. This is kind of findings before we get
right.
to the conclusions, findings.
As the community dawdled, a private industry arose offering proxy and privacy services. The industry is largely unregulated. Law enforcement and private industry around law enforcement have a difficult time finding those responsible for websites, and that language, those are private industry around law enforcement, is a language Kathy came up with, which is descriptive, and if that's acceptable, we use it. But it indicates that it's not; these are not just; it isn't just for law enforcement. There are others that are helping with cybersecurity, cybercrime, et cetera, that may need access to this information. Okay. Data protection.
Sorry to stop you, Bill. Alice, would you mind increasing the font size for those of us who are aged?
Just a note to Alice, one more paragraph about to come over that can be added to the document, if you would. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's big. Exactly. Ooh, yeah.
And if it doesn't say it, can we add the word findings at the top?
It doesn't, but yeah.
Alice, could you add the word findings? Is that okay, Bill? We'll just
absolutely.
Because kind of, we're creating the master document anew.
I didn't have time to. I'm not that old.
You're going to go there.
Okay.
So we've got as far as data protection.
Right. So now data protection, another finding, data protection commissioner communiques have told ICANN that natural non-trading persons need privacy protection under EU and other national protection laws. There are protections for free speech and freedom of expression that need to be taken into account. Proxy and privacy services meet a market demand. Proxy and privacy services are terms used in the 2009 RAA.
But we should add, but are not defined.
But are undefined.
Then Alice, could you add that in there? But are not, but are undefined. Right.
Yeah, some of these I didn't have a chance to clean up. I was typing as we were talking. But that, yeah.
Between the fist fights.
But are undefined.
Thanks for taking the interruptions. I'll try to stop.
There is a risk that in the current privacy services regime that the registrant could be seen as invalid on its face, as inaccurate, because the registrant name, the privacy has it, because it is the registrant's name, but a privacy service contact information. So this was stuff we talked about yesterday. And now into conclusions. One, drop proxy services from the RAA, since the proxy as an agent is in fact the registrant. Two, proxy and privacy regime is flawed, and we direct ICANN, the board, and GNSO as appropriate to fix it.
And we could have stopped there, but we didn't.
We didn't.
So we've got some more detail on that.
We got a little more detail.
Just a bit.
So let's see, where was it? Okay, so ICANN must develop and manage an accreditation system for privacy services, and we would need to put a time frame in. We didn't have time to come up with a recommendation. Once the accreditation system is up, and some of this language is stuff that was taken from the recommendations already. Once that system is operational, ICANN should take steps necessary to ensure that registrars and resellers cannot accept registrations from unaccredited privacy service proxy providers. ICANN must establish clear and consistent rules, also a time frame for accreditation, for these providers that must include that WHOIS entries have a flag that this is a private registration, to distinguish it from, so that you know that while you may not be able to contact the named individual through this contact point, it is not an invalid registration. Right? Privacy service must provide full contact details for itself, including name, address, phone, email, and a 24/7 contact. We think we may get some pushback on that, but have said, in essence, there need to be SLAs around privacy services. Standardized relay and wriggle processes and timeframes need to be defined. Something, you know, again, this not all this language has been fleshed out. There need to be rules for the appropriate level of publicly available information on the registrant. There we meant whether it's there should be name, but now are there other things that should be in that as well? Kathy?
But if I'll just add color commentary, that the idea is that the community as a whole should set a common level. We don't want one privacy service revealing X, Y, and Z and another not. Let's set a consistency of this. So, you know, that as part of this policy development process that will take place, establish a common set of rules on this.
Okay. Maintenance of a dedicated abuse point of contact for the privacy service provider. Privacy service provider shall conduct periodic due diligence checks on the registrant contact information, so on potentially on the way in, but then on a regular basis to make sure that it continues to be accurate. And then that there must be a balance between privacy and security. And here all I threw in is sort of the height of the bar, how hard it will be to disclose information. If that's very high, then security, right, there are other issues then around security that need to be brought in. And if the bar is very low, there's a balance, and that this is not just a privacy issue, right? That there's a, this is where privacy and security overlap, and the community or the board, whoever is dealing with this, we're trying to give them a direction and say this needs to be factored in when you do that, when you do this study.
And that top line should say needs of law enforcement, LE, and security industry. Could we have the word security?
Let's, if I could, just finish. And then this is all right. A definition of proxy. We just wanted to offer simple definitions for them. A proxy is an agent for the registrant, and all data is that of the agent, and they assume all rights and responsibilities of the registrant. They are, in fact, the registrant.
Let Bill get through it, and then I'm going to take questions and comments.
And for privacy, the registrant's name and a subset of other information, which could be the null set, so it's possible that nothing else, is in the Who Is record, but it should be consistent across ICANN. And then there's the ICANN should develop a graduated and enforceable series of penalties for privacy service providers who violate the terms of their accreditation. And that's consistent back to what we're saying on the registrars and other things, to the RIA, that those agreements need to have graduated enforcement options for compliance.
Can I first of all say thank you so much, Kathy, Bill, Peter, for producing this work overnight. I think that this is constructive. It very much acknowledges and builds on the areas where we can agree and is positive in that regard. I look forward to the comments and refining the text. I can see that it's based quite closely on the previous draft, which we'd discussed together in Marina Del Rey. I hope that the people participating remotely are able to see this and to take it in as well, and look forward to their comments as well. So in my list I have Peter and Seth. Does anybody, Wilfried? Lutz?
So please go ahead, Peter.
So obviously I was a bit involved in this, so I'm not going to say too much. I just wanted to put as Bill has pretty much just sort of read out what's there, I wanted to put a little bit of flesh behind the thinking just so that there's some things which we discussed ourselves. So it might help if we fill you in on some of those discussions so that it doesn't look like where did this come from. So one of the key points it's sort of struck, which we tried to get a clear flow of the argument through the recommendation, I mean through the findings before we got to the recommendations, is it It seems to us, in terms of how the community may respond to this, that it one thing we wanted to avoid the perception of is that we're being overly harsh on privacy issues, and we don't see it like that at the moment. As the findings sort of lead the argument along, it is unregulated. There's no policy there effectively, and something has sprung up. But despite all the problems that has created, and people have told us in our submissions, it seems to fill a market need. It seems from letters that have come from data commissioners and so on, that's a legitimate need. And even if we didn't have those letters, then we can pretty much imagine some cases ourselves where there may be a legitimate need. So it seemed like what we're in fact doing is legitimising this practice for the first time. At the moment, on the face of it, stuff which uses privacy services inaccurate data. And we're in fact putting a framework around that says, no, that's not in fact the case. We're legitimising it. So then the next step is, how do we do that in a sensible way that it doesn't make this the Wild West? And what we wanted to do was, as Kathy pointed out with the comment that we could have stopped there, is put a framework around it. We are aware of the tension that we don't want to be developing policy, but at the same time, we don't want to just say, after all this work, develop a policy, because the community has clearly struggled with that. So we're providing, I don't think we are developing policy, I think what we're providing is a framework for developing the policy. The policy should look at, you know, should look at how this, you know, there should be, they should look at how it's accredited. They should look at what data should or should not be in. Like, if it's limiting data, what data should be limited and so on. So we're pointing to the things which need to be in a policy or that should be considered in developing a policy. A key one being that we need to balance the need for privacy versus the need of law enforcement security, the stability of the internet and so on. That's going to be a tricky one, but we're providing a framework for that to happen. And as Bill said, one of the things depends on exactly what information is in and out, it would seem to me, and the threshold for releasing that information. They're going to be key things for the community to decide in developing a policy. So if the information is going to be given up very easily, if there's just an email, if someone wants to know, essentially, that isn't just an automated data trawler, then we may, that'll be one point where the balance is reached. Whereas if the threshold is very high for the release of data, you know, clear evidence of actionable harm, whatever the wording is, you guys, people who deal with this on a day-to-day basis are much better at it than me, then we will need to balance that in other ways. So there's going to be a balance depending on where the threshold for what data is in and out is limited in the first place, and where is the threshold for releasing that data. We haven't recommended anything there. It seems that that's something which would be duked out in the policy process between the law enforcement people, the data protection people, and whoever else has an interest in this. But we've pointed to that because in the policy development, in the development of the policy, that's the key issue for them to focus on. We don't want that to be missed. So we've pointed at things that really, for common sense reasons, should be in, and we've pointed to areas where we think there's a key tension that they're going to have to focus on. So I'm sorry for stealing the mic, but that's kind of the thinking, I think, that was behind all of this. So I hope that helps.
Thank you very much, Peter. That does help, and it also, it may be worth just, it might be that I missed it, but that putting into words this sort of, this idea that this is a framework for creation of policy rather than, so Seth.
Yeah. So Emily said what I was going to say. I'm personally grateful to the three of you because I think when we are able to reach a consensus on these difficult topics, it makes our team able to make a more valuable contribution. So I'm very impressed, so thank you. The other thing is I'm worried about that one definition. Alice, can you put it back up? Because I think using the word registrant like that is part of the problem, and if we could get rid of the word registrant in the proxy definition, I'm not sure how to do that, but I think I think that's something we should strive for, because I think it confuses the issue.
Well, can you just...
Oh, right. Let's just run through the initial comments from people. Note that, and I note, Kathy, that you want to come in on that. Let's have people think about this as well. So I've got Wilfried and Lutz waiting, and then I'll come to you, Kathy. Thank you.
Yeah, first of all, thanks to everyone who was involved in putting this text together. I like it very much. The only question I'd like to ask, and that's not sort of suggesting, just asking the question that we do this consciously. I have the feeling that the use of must in the at the very beginning of this proposed text might actually sort of step across the boundary of our mandate. In particular, after listening to Peter here saying that we are creating a policy framework by putting this text together, I'm fine with doing it. So I'm not arguing against it. I just want to ask the question to everyone around this table, is this actually what we want to do consciously? Personally, I would rather use the wording like we mandate or we suggest or we advise ICANN to do this. But then again, we might sort of undermine the, we might break sort of the edge of the whole thing. So as I said, in principle, I'm fine, but if and when we do that, we should do it consciously and maybe sort of even add a little bit of an explanation towards the end of the document why we think we've got the right and the mandate to do as we are doing.
Thank you very much, Wilfried. Good points from both of you. Lutz?
First of all, thank you for your work. I'm really impressed how far you're going into the details, what the framework should contain. What I miss in this discussion here is which part of the WHOIS entries might be considered to be covered by a privacy service. We're talking about the registrant, but the registrant has a lot of entries. It had a technical entry, technical contact, had a billing contact, all mentioned in the AOC. So if you're talking about privacy service or privacy with the registrant data, I should have to make the command that we should limit it to the registrant records for who is the registrant itself, the owner, and might be the administrative contact. These are the both critical contact details for the privacy issues. If we're talking about stability and security, we need direct shortcut access to the technical and zone contact. That's the same way the CCTLDs in Europe usually implement it. If you're making in WHOIS queries with CCTLD, you get technical and zone contact, nothing more. For everything else, you have to make a more complicated procedure. So the first question here is, how far can a privacy service go into these details? If we do not define it, might be such a service even go to the technical part, preventing the access or showing up the name service of a domain? I don't think so. Second part, if you are going, the whole recommendation for the framework insists on accredited services. I don't think it would be nice if you have every privacy service as with a direct contract with ICANN. It would be fine. But I don't think it's achievable. Privacy services are mainly in work due to applicable local law. So they have in first place to fulfill the local law, and it might be a protection. In most cases, it will be a violation of local law to have another contract which urges them to provide more information than they are allowed to local law. In order to prevent this conflict in the first place, I'd like to rephrase it to there have to be a contractual relationship to an ICANN accredited entity. Might be a registrar in the country. So this might be possible to construct a privacy service within a country, only fulfilling local laws and only have contracts following in the local law.
I've got Susan, and then I'm going to come to you three for any comments on that sort of. So what we're doing at the moment is just getting initial reactions, and then I'd like the three of you to figure out how you're going to respond, please.
So just more housekeeping. Is it possible that we could get this document sent to each of us sort of quickly, because it's hard to read it in full in the way it is? And then, and it may be in this, and I just missed it, but did you give any thought to grandfathering, or, you know, what happens to the old bad data, you know, going forward? I think we should be explicit about that. And I'm just wondering if this is going to be perceived as harsh to the privacy services, as you brought that point up, and sort of letting the proxy off the hook. Because, yes, they're going to be responsible. Proxies are the registrant, and ICANN's not letting them off the hook if all of the details are removed from the RAA. But then ICANN has no ability to come down on bad proxy services. And the only outlet will be, I'm not talking very well today, so I'm sorry, but the only way to resolve an issue with proxy service then is going to be the courts. And I just wonder if the community at large is going to wonder why we came so hard on privacy. I mean, we could all state that argument, but I still think that's going to be a consideration.
Thank you.
Because we still won't be able to, if there was a proxy service, then it is, for right now, and let's just take ABC proxy service, right? They are the owner, they are the registrant of that domain, so therefore they technically should be liable, but if you really are doing an enforcement action of some sort, you would need to get behind that information and get to the person that could actually take down that information or change that. So you could, yes, you could sue, you could list them as in the complaint, in a litigation, you could file a UDRP. There's a lot of things you could do, but there's not going to be any quick method. We're giving some sort of quick result mechanism for the privacy, but now we're not addressing the proxy. I just think it's going to be an argument that people will bring up.
I think those are all points well made, and I think my impression is that on the market out there, that proxy services tend to be more popular than privacy services. I don't know if that's completely based on no evidence whatsoever. So, Kathy, Peter, Bill, can I ask you for your responses?
I'll try a few. Can I?
Very quick thing to Wilfred's point. We chose must. I'm happy to back off of that. What we basically said was we feel we need to give direction to the community, and it needs to be in as strong a terms as we basically as strongly as we can make it. Must was strong, you know, was the strongest we could say. We could back off that, but we want to make it clear that it's not enough to say, yeah, we're going to take care of it at some point in time. It's like you have to do something here.
Thank you. I'll go to Kathy, Peter, and then I'll have you say.
Okay, let me just run down a few of the questions. First, we're working with a draft. So under definitions, pick your definitions. The goal here is to have a definition of proxy and privacy services, not for ongoing contracts, but based on our understanding of the community. This is what we understand privacy to be. This is what we understand proxy to be. So privacy is where at least the registrant is listed. So these are kind of, and maybe we can even call that working definitions, but feel free to change the wording. I had a note also about the must, that must should, the idea is do something, or as Bill would say, fix it. How far can a privacy service go in terms of what it has to reveal and what it shouldn't? We decided not to go that far, that if we're directing a policy development process to start, let's leave it with as many of the question, the policy questions as they can answer. We're just trying to just create a minimal framework. And even for that, we will be criticized, guys. So this is a minimal framework. Let's leave the detailed questions to the community, because that's where it belongs. In terms of the old bad data, is that a question we can frame for the community to answer? And if so, let's add it in as a bullet point. And then I made a note. Let someone else answer the rest of Susan's question.
Nicely done. Well, as for criticism, Kathy, I think it's like Oscar Wilde says, there's only one thing worse than people talking about you. It's people not talking about you.
I love going third because lots of stuff's already been said. Thanks. So I just to go to Lutz is where I start with. I think there's still some outstanding issues. So in terms of, and I agree with Kathy, we deliberately stayed away from what data should and shouldn't be included. But I also take your point, which I think is really important, in that we're looking for privacy services to offer a service that people need or want. And in terms of the balance of that with what is needed for security and stability, if technical or zone contacts are absolutely required for security and stability reasons, and they're not really required for the privacy of the registrant owner, I actually think we should say that, so that there's a line in the sand. So these people need to be known for security and stability of the internet. The rest of the stuff, the community can decide where to put the scale based on. And I think in terms of what you were saying about whether it's mandatory because of local national laws, I think we can fix that potentially at the same time. And I'm sorry that I missed this myself. Being the government rep, I should be very interested in the local laws. But let's say, again, let's give the guidance to the community. So the community decides where to draw the boundary consistent with relevant national laws. Or applicable laws. So we just put it in there. So when the community goes out and has the bun fight about what data's in and out, it needs to be consistent with national laws. Would that take care of it at that point?
I'm astonished about you. Usually...
Good astonished or bad astonished?
I expected that you're saying... the policy for privacy service, which falls under local law, has nothing to do with ICANN, because from the GAG standpoint of view, it's national law, and national law has nothing to do be regulated by a company, a private company in a foreign country doesn't has any influence to our local law. So I'm really astonished that you're accepting from the, I take you for the gag. I know it's not true, but I take you for the gag here, and I take the good feeling with me that GAG is accepting ICANN to making policy, even if they are conflicting with the law in the various countries. Thanks.
I'm not sure I did say that. If it's got to be made consistent with, it has to be made consistent with national law. So it's not that would.
But on the other hand, you know that there is no consistent local law at all.
Indeed. So this is something that would need to be discussed if it's a lowest or highest common denominator type question. Yes. So, don't quote me that I'm saying inconsistent with local. But yeah, I think we can deal with it at that stage, and whether that ultimately precludes complete universality, then that's a question that in the policy development process. But if we have inconsistent with national law, we're not going to be allowing the policy to breach any national laws. However, that needs to be achieved by raising or lowering the bar to the highest standard, which I think is the EC laws probably, although a lot of national jurisdictions are coming, you know, close to that and taking that on board, or whether we allow some variability based on different national laws. But that's something that can be dealt with at times, so long as the laws aren't breached.
Good luck.
Thank you. That's why we're not resolving that here ourselves. We're passing that one on. So, grandfathering transitioning, as Kathy said, we actually did have a quick chat about this, and I guess it's kind of assumed that that's a detailed implementation question to do with grandfathering, existing, blah, 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 and transitioning. Happy to make a note about it if you think it's helpful. Yep. Okay, excellent. And your last one, are proxies off the hook? That's a great question, and I would... And this, I think I actually mentioned this to you in Marina Del Rey when I first put this forward. I would love your views. Like, you Bill, like Kathy, people who deal with this. I guess we're trying to imagine what the situation is if there is no mention of proxies. So proxies as such don't exist. And so if... You're the proxy service provider or the agent, and you're assuming a bunch of responsibility and risk associated with that, and in the best case scenario, nothing ever happens because the person that you've assumed that risk and responsibility on the base for doesn't do anything wrong. That's great. Now, if they do something wrong, there's different sorts of wrong. If it goes to the courts, then probably doesn't make much difference one way or the other. It's the in between categories where people are. Relying on good faith or things which, you know, don't have the force of law behind them. And I'm genuinely interested in whether you think this is a retrograde or a positive step. Do you as the agent get called out for it? And so, like, does it make it clearer or less clear? I'm really genuinely interested. Because if you think it's a bad step, I'd be I think it wouldn't be as good from my point of view, but I'm happy to be wrong. And if it's better to extend accreditation and policy and a framework around proxies, then I'm happy to go there. I think it'll be difficult, and you know we'll need to acknowledge that it won't be as transparent because we won't know who the proxies are all the time. But if you think that's better, I'm happy to go there. I'm genuinely interested. But my goal is to clear up the mess and make it better.
Let's make that note and the suggestion. I've got Seth and Wilfried on my list. Does anybody want the mic as well? Because then what I'm going to do is take these two comments... And if I may, I'd like to suggest that the three of you produce the next draft, take some time to produce the next draft, taking on board the comments. If you don't feel like you've got enough from us, then we can certainly do a bit more socialisation. But I think probably put, you know, there's some obvious amendments that you yourselves have suggested. If we took half an hour at this stage with that... I mean, I don't want to kill you. I know that you've all been working very hard. What's going to be the best way of advancing our agenda this afternoon and getting agreement while we're thinking about that? Seth and then Wilfried, please.
I think this relates a little bit to that further discussion. You know, Susan, what you said confuses me. Alice, did you get my email by any chance? Can you throw that up on the screen? I guess I'm seeing this proxy differently. And I don't know if you were just talking about grandfathering, but I see it as if the proxy is going to list their own administrative contact, and if something needs to change, they would have the ability to do that. In other words, you wouldn't have to go behind anybody. And you're smiling, so you don't think that's... No, but I mean, you need to tell me, since you have the... street experience, you need to tell me what about my thinking is wrong. And maybe it's not wrong, maybe it's because that's not what how it's happening now, but if we send a clear message that what's happening now shouldn't be happening, then the new proxy services, which I don't see as being accredited, but maybe they will be, just couldn't function the way they are now because there would be too much liability attached to it. So this is my attempt at doing a definition that doesn't create a double meaning for the word registrant. Okay. And I don't know if this helps, and I'm not suggesting we accept this, except that it clarifies things in my mind. So it's maybe a point of discussion. And as far as the must, and I was thinking should might be a good word, but that's up to you. And I am available if you need my help.
Yeah, actually, the text which is on the screen already takes 3/4 of what I would have wanted to suggest. And sorry, my apologies. In the previous version, like the three-person proposal, I would have suggested to replace for the proxy thing the word registrant with the term the user of the domain. Because this is not in this one, the previous one, yeah, the original one. But I'm more happy to use that one because it makes it much clearer that the proxy agent is actually the registrant and thus completely fits inside the system of terms and the systems of regulations and procedures.
Thank you very much, both of you. Peter, you wanted to make a comment?
Yeah, it's really on the next step. I again defer to Susan whether Seth's new definition. Anyway, so Seth's definition. If there's a residual concern about this proxy approach, what I was going to propose is that the three of us who drafted it and you potentially step outside, have a quick chat. this is where the ketchup might come in. Just go and sort it out, while the remaining members pick the next tricky thing and start to come up with some text, and then we can come in and look at your text, and that way we've got two jobs going at the same time. That's all I was going to propose.
I think that's I would endorse that, and perhaps those of us remaining in the room can revisit the accuracy recommendations that we were starting to work through yesterday and see how we're doing on that, or if there's another tricky subject that you want us to work on, we can. How about we all take 15 minutes anyway and have a break and then come back in with our revised text at 4:00? Yeah?
4:00? 3:00?
No. Have a break and then work on it. 3:30? How long will it take?
3:30.
3:30.
This is Susan. So I think everybody, when we're looking at the proxy issue, we should keep this in mind. 2009 RAA addressed the proxy issues. We haven't seen since it was addressed. 2001 RAA did not address it at all. If you search it, there's nothing about proxy in there. Mm-hmm. So we've had a lot of bad behavior going on in the proxy realm. The language of the 2009 RAA and the language of the 2009 RAA was trying to fix the proxy issues. So litigation, whatever, UDRP process, whatever, was not able to deal with the proxy issue, and then there was some quick fix, put into the 2009 RAA. But basically what we're doing is reverting back to an existing situation that was not good. If anybody has looked at proxies, you'll know it was not a good situation. And so what are we going to say to that community that says, no, we fought hard to get this put in the 2009 RAA, and you're stripping it out? And if there's another one in between, I forgive my ignorance, and we need, but we need to look at all the RAAs.
So why don't we take a break now, then do the small groups? You want to? Okay.
No, I do see your point, but at the same time, we have to recognize that this attempt failed miserably. So I wouldn't have any bad feelings in suggesting to rip it out again, because it didn't work. I mean, it was put in, but it didn't get us where we wanted to get to. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess my feeling is, if we as a team give this definition, we're sending a message that the old RAA doesn't mean what people took it to mean, that they are free to have improper proxies. So I think it's very important that we send this message that clarifies what a proxy is to us. I don't know. I know you still have concerns, but I think it's a matter of telling the industry that they're on the hook if they continue to do this. And I don't know if we need ICANN to say that in an RAA. But because your previous suggestion was just to take off the that language, but that is kind of acknowledging that you can be a registrant, not be a registrant. And I don't think that's true. But you know, so, but anyway.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that we really think about what we're doing.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break, come back into the main session together, or sort of all get back together at sort of 20 to 4, see how we've got, how far we, does that leave enough time to sort of just process a new draft, or would you like until 4 o'clock?
Chances
are we're all going to be talking about it. Yeah. So. Yeah. We do. Really. In that case, let's take a break and then work through the draft on the screen together. That's probably the best thing to do, because I sense everybody's interested and everybody's fairly close to being happy with it. We've got a big issue to work out about the extent to which proxies are included in the framework which you have described and what will be the most effective way of getting change, I think.
I think the intent we had on in the framework or the direction is that around proxies is that they actually have to act responsibly. I don't know how we can put that into an ICANN contract, but it's basically if they're served with process, they have to respond, and if they don't, then ICANN should have procedures or in place where registrants who refuse to participate in processes or whatever, they're dealt with. Enough of the games. That's the message we need to deliver to the community, is can't hide behind people except for the real reasons, that for privacy reasons that are legitimate. But the games people have been playing are no longer acceptable in this industry.
Yeah, so again, this comes to sort of genuine questions rather than my opinion. So in terms of what I had understood, like I think Seth said it really well, like, so 2001 and 2009 RAs, yeah, we know it hasn't been good, so that's clearly what we're trying to fix. And so pulling out language, I can see how this will be perceived, and this is why I'm really interested in this. If I get this wrong, it won't be great for me. so putting in a definition that clarifies, or doing something in our report that makes it crystal clear, like where I'm interested in whether we need to do more, or where the residual problem might be if we say you're the registrant, you're a proxy, you're the registrant. And so if there's a problem in the fact that they don't respond, that should be the same problem that we would face with any registrant, I would think. Or if there's any problem that is associated with that registration, it should be the same as the problem with any registration. And do we have the tools in place to deal with that for other registrants? Then we should focus on that, I think. So
you have a responsibility to respond.
So
as a domain registrant, I get emails all day long. I don't have a responsibility to respond to those.
So is that where the problem is? Mm-hmm. And so let's focus on that. So if we fix this up, maybe we've been looking at, I thought this the other day and I wasn't sure, you know, whether it needed to come up. Because I remember a couple of meetings ago, Bill first, I think, articulated what we'd all been thinking about, service level agreements, right. SLAs. I remember it popping on as our recommendations, and I think we all agreed it when it was on the thing. And as I was drafting these gap analyses, I wondered what it meant. And when I drafted the text, I, in the back of my head, just because I was reading so many of the submissions and people said relay, reveal process, times for relaying and revealing, blah-de-blah-de-blah, I thought, that's what it means. That's the way I drafted the text. It seems to me that maybe I missed the broader problem. In fact, for proxies, we're not worried about relay and reveal because you're the person that's in trouble. I don't care if you relay and reveal. It's you. You're the registrant. The problem is, to what the SLA issue is, how quickly you respond and how you respond. And that's the same for every registrant, potentially. So I'm just putting this out. I'm not sure, but are we looking at a broader problem, and potentially we need to focus our attention on some recommendations on the broader problem?
So, and I don't know how.
Let's have a break. Come back
it's
in 10
so
minutes.
It's so hard to get ideas out when. I mean, I agree with the break. For one thing, I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But it is really hard to get ideas out, and I'm worried about Sarmad's opinion here because yesterday he was very adamant that a privacy registration was false WHOIS information. So that's what I understood. No.
It's reflected in the text here.
Currently it is.
Okay, so I haven't had time to really absorb this document, so.
As long as we're on duty to respond, just wanted to note what Susan said, that her inbox is filled all day long.
Right.
And so if I get 1,000 offers a day for my domain name, do I have a duty to respond to all of them? Mm-hmm. This is you know, the answer is almost invariably no. But note that from what I've been told from my communities, having your information out there, particularly your email out there, and all available, all accessible, all the time, creates spam. So that one way to make sure that the messages of cybersecurity people and law enforcement go through more quickly that people are doing is privacy services, so that it's really the important stuff that comes through. So I don't know, before we change duties to respond to things, just noting that maybe what we're talking about is how the really important stuff gets through, and then there's some kind of duty to respond to law enforcement or to cybersecurity people. And I don't know how we get into that detail, but we are at the point of passing a lot of these details on to the next group.
Okay.